Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, folks, and I tell you what, it is a rocking day. I don't know about you, but looking into the last week of the year always gets me stoked because it allows me the time to reflect on the past, look at friendships that need to be nurtured, look at friendships that have been nothing but you know, one-sided, and look at what else we're doing. Where else are we going? What are we doing? You know, something I learned from Todd Falcone years ago is that there's people in your life that help you grow your business. They help you grow your personal relationships. They help you in every aspect of your life. He's one of them that has just been a godsend to me. He was one of my number one trainers for close to a decade, and now has gone out on his own and is just doing great things for people. And we were connecting over the last few days, and it's fun to see his perspective on things as an outsider. And he said, "What are you training on?" I said, "John Maxwell's book, Make Today Count." And he said, "That's a good book, man, going into the new year." And Todd's just a great guy. I love him. I love what he's doing. He's a powerful individual. And when you look at the success that he has had, you realize that throughout life, if you just keep plugging forward, if you do what John says, and you determine your daily agenda, and you stick with that, and you don't let other things get you sidetracked, that the sky is the limit. It's what it's all about. Today we're in chapter 2, priorities. One of the things that John says in this, and I love this, because he says, here's what I want this discussion to be about in this chapter. He says, you've got to write this down. You've got to focus on it, so do that now. He says, I will prioritize my life and give focus and energy to those things that give me the highest return. And that includes every aspect of our life. You know, we have the 12 that we're going to be covering. So you take that sentence, I will prioritize my life and give focus and energy to those things that give me the highest return. You know, that's what Jesus did. And you know, you guys know that. I always refer back to my faith because he did that. And you know what? He had 12 apostles. Now, John uses 12 different attributes here, but when you look at attitude, priorities, health, family, thinking, commitment, finances, faith, relationships, generosity, values, and growth, you realize that's a number 12 also. And I just love this. I was sitting here going through the chapter today. And John writes this. He says, I never look at myself or my work in the same way after writing that sentence and making that part of my creed. He says, I realize that I need to focus 80% of my time, energy, and resources on my areas of strength, not on counseling and administration. Well, I started looking at my own life, and I thought, man, we all do this every year, and if we don't focus, what ends up doing is we let situations, we let people, we let things, we let companies, whatever the case is, get in the way of what we're supposed to be doing, fulfilling our major purpose. And you know, if we get rid of all the excuses and we focus 100% on the priorities that we need to focus on, the sky's the limit on where we'll go. The sky's the limit on what we can do. John writes this. He says, I try to focus on those things that are important and not just get sidetracked. You know, it never ceases to amaze me when you put yourself out in front of people the way I do, and when you sit down and you write as much as I do, and you shoot videos as much as I do, there's always somebody wants to take a pot shot. There's always somebody that wants to say, but you said this and you said that, and I snicker sometimes because it's like, man, you know, do people not understand that when you have priorities, just stick to the priorities? It's not about peer pressure. It's not about what somebody's ego or attitude is. It's about focusing forward. And see, that's what John's saying to do. He's saying, get your priorities straight. Listen to what he says here. He says, make the decision to determine and act on important priorities today. Making the decision to determine and act on important decisions or priorities today. See, we have to keep the priorities front and center. And in some cases, they'll say God first, family second, you know, business third. And those are priorities, without a doubt. But those are, I think, really high-tiered. You got to get it down to something that's really personable. You know, my family is very important to me. My wife comes first, and then the kids. Then come my grandkids. I have a hierarchy of importance there. I love them all the same. Nothing changes there, but I have to focus on what God has given me. We all do that. Same thing in business. You know, I can go out there and worry about my personal brand. I can go out there and say, well, I'm going to keep building Troy Dooley. Or I can look at what in my life, what I believe in, and I've hired on to a company to where I have to go out and build that brand. We're in a soft pre-launch type situation. We got a lot of things to get fixed, a lot of things to make happen before we take this thing into high gear in 2011. So the team's working on the list of priorities. Funny thing is, sometimes people think that their priorities are more important than the priorities of the team. And that's going to happen even in your family. That's why we have to stay focused on these 12. That's the important part. Listen to what John says here. If you want to change the way you look at yourself and what you do by making a decision concerning your priorities, then let's do the following. First thing we're going to do, write this down, is we're going to take back today. We're going to take back today. So you're going to stop letting the dull, negative, disillusioned crybabies take up your time. We all have them in our life. You got them at work. You got them at home. Okay, it doesn't mean you don't love them. But you know what? If the people around you are not going to change, if they're not going to get on the bandwagon and focus on what's best in their life, if they're not going to say, okay, I need to make sure my attitude's straight, my priority's straight, the whole 12 here, if they're not going to focus forward on the glass being half full, if they're not going to do that, then maybe it's time that they grow elsewhere. See, that's what we've got to look at. I have relatives that way. We all do. We have people in our life all over the place, even at church, that are that way. So you have to look at taking back today. Listen to what John writes. Have you ever noticed that people who have nothing to do usually want to spend their time with you? Poet Carl Sandburg said, time is the most valuable coin in your life. You and you alone will determine how that coin will be spent. Be careful that you do not let other people spend it for you. I have noticed in my life, and like I said, we're going through the whole year. You want to know my greatest video post of the year? They got the most hits, they got the most comments, were the negative critical posts. And when we started looking back and reviewing this, we thought, man, that really sucks, because that's not what our life's about. There's going to be critical issues that come up, but if the majority of the people that's following you on a blog are following the negative crap, man, why even have the blog? The funny thing is, when I went over and looked at my community at Facebook and at Twitter, the most commented videos are the ones that were the most positive. Do you think we're not making a change? I guarantee you we're making a change. We want to be a conduit as a company that I'm working with now, and as the magnitude of everything that we do in life. We want to permeate a positive, realistic approach. And see, that's what you've got to do. Take back today. You've got to make sure that you're surrounding yourself with people that want to be positive. Otherwise, what happens is you get caught up in that crap. I caught myself doing that early in the year. We got caught up in doing that. Man, we're just not going to do that anymore. Listen to this. Your greatest possession is the 24 hours you have directly ahead of you. How will you, John says spend it, but I'm going to say, how will you invest it? Will you give in to the pressures or focus on the priorities? Yesterday was an awesome day. I got all kinds of loose ends finished up. I gave so many projects over to the team to take care of, you know, and it's because I'm sitting here realizing what I need to focus on. See, getting the rest of my mission plan, my success plan put together. You know, I call it the ISP, the individual success plan, and you've got to put it together and make it happen. See, the bottom line is this. If we do not take control of our lives, if we don't take control of the time in our lives, somebody else will do it. Somebody else will take up your time. And you know, sadly, you can't please everybody. People have been given a God-given choice in life. You're gonna love people all day long. They're still going to go out and want to focus on the negative. They're still going to want to focus on all the all the things that just don't matter, and they're not going to be able to help you or help themselves. You got to love them, but that isn't where your time should be invested. Your time should be invested with people that want to make a difference, people that want to move forward. That's the key right there. John says, ask yourself these three questions. John says, no daily dozen issue has added more to my success than the priority or than the principle of priorities. When I discovered that I needed to change my approach to my day and my career, I started asking myself three critical questions. And these are, man, these are very, very important. They really are. What makes them so important is that every one of these questions should be underneath the 12 daily dozen. Bar none. Listen to this. First question you need to write down, what is required of me? Any realistic assessment of priorities in any area of life must start with a realistic assessment of what a person must do. See, we've got to know specifically what it is we have to do. When ordering priorities, always start with the requirement question and give it careful thought before moving to any of the next questions. What is required of me? That's a must, bar none. Second, what gives me the greatest return? See, this is the second most important question. As you progress in your career, you begin to discover that some activities yield higher return for the effort than others do. See, that's the key. You know, I put together the fast track outline for the company that I'm with. I shot it over to my business partner and said, can you get this out to the team and let them put all their creative juices to it? I create the basic content, then they add to it. See, I understand that I'm one person. And when the team gets involved, I mean, we've got dozens of people. The graphic artists, the copywriters, the ingenious visionaries that create our commercials that we have. When all this starts happening, it gets exciting. I start getting passionate about it because I know I'm helping other people too. It's just not me. And at the end of the day, it becomes even more of a success than it would have been. See, that's because the priorities are lined up. It's because we know what gives us the greatest return. See, I think that the most important thing is understanding what's required of you. Then the next is to focus your intention on what's going to give you the highest return. What activities are going to help you? What activities are going to help the team? What activities are going to help fulfill the purpose? See, the purpose and the vision is always supposed to be greater than one person. It's supposed to be what's best for the whole organization. And if you're not with an organization that feels that way, then try to change it if you can. If you can't, then you may have to change. But you got to do what you can do. Number three, what gives me the greatest reward? See, if you do only what you must and what is effective, you will be highly productive, but you may not be content. John writes, I think it's also important to consider what gives you personal satisfaction. However, I find that some people want to start with the reward question and go no further than that. Listen to this. This is powerful. No one can be successful who doesn't possess the discipline to take care of the first two areas before adding the third. You've got to know what's required of you. You've got to know where you get your greatest return. Then you'll know what gives you the greatest reward. At the end of the day, that's the important part. That's the magnitude. That's what we're going for. See, if you can duplicate this on in your organization, whether you're in direct selling, in a doctor's office, dentist office, truck driver, I don't care what it is. If you can focus on those three under priorities, you will help your whole organization. Philosopher William James said, the art of being wise is the art of knowing what to overlook. In other words, you got to stay in your strength zone. People don't pay for average. That's listen, this is big. People don't pay for average. That, look, you can be a master distributor in your company, and if all you're doing is acting average, then don't expect great success. This is something that you need to understand. We all need to write this on a 3x5 card. People don't pay for average. People don't go looking for a mediocre restaurant, a middling movie, when they go out at night. Employers don't reward the contract to the salesman known as Mr. Average. Nobody says, let's give the contract to the company that will do merely an adequate job. When you are rewarded, when somebody comes into your life, when they have offered you a beautiful position, a position where you can go out there and change the world, and all you want to do is act normal, act average and ordinary, just fit into the mold, expect everybody else to do more than you and you to get rewarded for it, then expect to not get the success that you want. Darren Hardy calls it the compound effect. It amazes me how many shows we do and how many people literally have their lives changed by the content of these shows that they go out and they buy these books from these great authors. But out of every 10 success emails that I get, I'll get one from somebody that's a dull, negative, disillusioned crybaby that wants to tell me how it doesn't work, how I've got it wrong, how these guys don't know what they're talking about, how they haven't lived in their shoes. And I just smile, and we keep doing the shows, hoping that someday it will permeate, it will connect. See, if you don't already have a good handle on your strengths, then you may want to explore some of these suggestions that John has in his book. See, this is why when I see somebody go from company to company to company, 3 or 4 different companies in a year, I get excited about that. And you may say, Troy, that's a little weird, isn't it? And it's like, no. See, when a person's going from company to company to company, in most cases, they're trying to find their strength. They're trying to find that perfect fit. Now, sometimes they're expecting free rides. Sometimes they're being paid to go from company to company. We all know that. But I'm saying an average, ordinary person that's just getting into the business says, man, that one didn't work. Man, that one didn't work. Man, that one didn't work. Oh, finally. Reminds me of my friend Corey Citron. Man, he went from company to company to company to company before he finally hit on all 8 cylinders, and the rest is history. A lot of us do that. A lot of company owners do that. It's funny how when you run a company, well, it's funny how when you report on companies, let me put it this way, people look at you with one set of glasses. Then when you go to work for a company, they look at you in a different set of glasses. And it's like, you know what, you just got to be yourself. You just got to go out there, and no matter where you're at, you can be the new guy on the block or you can be the greatest leader. Just be yourself. And don't worry about what other people think. Just live up to the personal expectations that you have. Because when you do that, you're going to work. Listen to some of this. Try trial and error. Nothing teaches you more than your successes and failures. But listen, when you do it this way, you've got to take the risk of failing to find your successes. This is why I don't mind when I see a guy that's been with 3 or 4 different companies. If he's doing it right, if he's journaling his experiences, sooner or later he'll find out what he's doing wrong. It's always going to be what he's doing wrong, because if he's going from company to company to company, he's not focusing on what his strengths are, and sooner or later it will catch up, he will find it, but if he'd just slow down a little bit, he'd find or she'd find their strengths and be able to move forward. The second thing, counsel with others. Now listen, when you put yourself out there to be counseling, to go out and be accountable, you may not like what you hear all the time. I've got some great men and women in my life, actually, that I go to for advice. I did this yesterday. I got a scathing email from a great, great friend of mine. And I expect those every now and then. In this case here, I read through it, and it's like, okay, to listen to him speak, he's the expert, and I just don't have a clue what I'm talking about. And I wasn't sure what it was that he was getting at. So I put every email together that I'd ever had. send it over to some people that are not in direct selling but are real big proponents of the industry. And there are people that have been around the company that I'm with, because this had to do with my company, for close to a decade. I said, I want you to read through this series of emails from start to finish, and I want you to tell me if I've missed something. Is there something that you know that I don't? Every one of them came back and said, wow, you know, we've known these guys and their families for, like you said, Troy, a decade. We've seen them in public and in private. We've seen them when they've been frustrated and when they've been happy. We've seen them whenever they've been successful and when they failed. We've seen the literally thousands that have been of people where value's been added. We've seen the tens of thousands where value's been added into people's lives. And for somebody to come up with this is a little bit out of the ordinary. I said, well, I just wanted to see if I had missed something, you know, because you guys, you know, you've been in business with these guys longer than I have. And sometimes this is going to happen. See, sometimes what's going to happen is when you counsel with others, you end up counseling with the wrong people. And all of a sudden your glass is half full. All of a sudden, I mean, half empty instead of half full. I took this same set of emails and I passed them around to some people inside the direct selling industry who had investigated the company that I'm with. And they said, we didn't see any of this, Troy. None of this is have we seen. Matter of fact, we're hearing great things from people within the company that are in the field that are excited about every time that they call support or they talk to people that they have their questions answered. See, and I started looking at that because here's what happens. You have to get a full-fledged, you've got to be able to get a good feel when you're counseling. So you ask others to evaluate your effectiveness or the effectiveness of your company. It's not always fun. It's not always going to make you feel good. But if you're with the right people, you will get the right answers. You may not like those answers, but you'll know that they'll be authentic. They'll be transparent, and they'll be real. And that's what you want. And I do this a lot, folks. I'll tell you right now, when I get one negative email, I take it seriously. I can get praise all day long. That you can easily get that. But when somebody's critical, man, I go to the Lord, especially when they question my ethics. You know, it's like, wow. You know, and it's funny because usually I can tell when somebody's really questioning ethics, because they will try to differentiate personal ethics from business ethics, and I just believe you have ethics. There is no personal or business. You're either an ethical person or you're not. So I sit here and I read through things and I look at things, and we all have to do this. And that's what John's talking about here. That's the key. Counsel of others. Number three is a personality test. See, evaluations of what your personality is like is very good. Now, it is not going to measure the will of your heart. I believe your heart can overcome any personality glitch that's there. But a personality test can at least give you an idea of where your strengths are, maybe help collapse your time frame on where you're going. The fourth thing is the personal experience. You really got to get a feel of how you will do something by doing it repeatedly over and over and over. See, when you do that, when you tweak yourself, when you look and you continue to do, then you know how well you're going to do. Those four things right there are powerful. But how do you manage your discipline? What do you do to make the discipline of your priorities work? How can you stay focused? See, that's the key. Number one, evaluate your priorities daily. Every day you have to live your life according to your priorities. Not according to somebody else's priorities, according to your priorities. So you have to look at what you need to do. Priorities don't just stay put. You have to revisit them every day because conditions are continually changing. And so do the methods of getting things done. But listen, your values, once defined, are going to be steady. You've just got to make sure your priorities are keeping you focused on what your values are. You got to be flexible. You're going to have to be making changes. just like when a company's launching, there's constant changes until you get right down that path where you got to be to fulfill your ultimate vision of adding value to people's lives. Number two, plan your time carefully. Listen to this. Only 1/3 of American workers plan their daily schedules, and only 9% follow through and complete what they have planned. I personally think you should have 3 priorities on a daily basis that you're going to get done. That's it. If you get them all done before noon, awesome. If it takes you 8 hours, then that's awesome too. At least you got them done. But you've got to do that. Number three, you've got to follow your plan. This is big. According to management expert Alec McKenzie, surveys show that most executives don't get their most important task done until mid-afternoon. Why? Most finish off low-priority tasks so that they will have a sense of accomplishment. I've caught myself doing that. But don't. Do what's most important first. Don't procrastinate on it. Number four, delegate whenever possible. John Maxwell doesn't write his own books. He puts all the information together, and then his writer, Wenzel, takes it from there and puts it together in the final format. I think that is awesome. It helps you do what you're supposed to do. It helps you stay focused. Peter Drucker is good. He says, no executive has ever suffered because his subordinates were strong and effective. I love the team I've got at our command center in Austin, because they make me shine. They are powerful, and I love them people for that. They're the true heroes of Ignite 360. The fifth thing you've got to do, and invest in the right people daily. Not in every person. Not in everybody that thinks they need you. It won't work that way. John writes this. There's one more area I want to address, and it's the area of priorities, and that's the need to prioritize how we spend our time with people. My friend Waylon Moore has observed that often we spend priority time with problem people when we should be spending it with potential people. I think that's true. Certainly you want to treat everyone with respect and try to have a good, positive relationship with everyone, but you should not spend time with everyone equally. Here's what I use to evaluate and invest my time. And I've done this since I read this book, which came out. This one here actually came out in 2004. Number one, value the team. The team comes first above an individual person. Number two, look at their natural ability. Are they out there really doing something? Look at the responsibility. Are they taking responsibility for their actions or blaming other people? Look at the timing. Is there somebody that right this second needs and wants and desires and is doing something for your time, or is there just somebody out there wanting to fulfill their time? Look at the potential. Which person has the most potential? Which person is out there wanting to fulfill the mission of the team, the purpose of the team? Now, lastly, where's the mentoring fit? Is this a person that wants to be mentored, or just a person that wants to talk and listen to themselves? John writes this, the time you spend with others can be a great investment. Choose whom you will invest in and then add value to them on a constant basis. You will never regret it. Here's the takeaway for today. Where do you stand when it comes to your priorities? Ask yourself these 3 questions. Have I already made the decision to determine and act on important priorities today? If so, when did I make that decision? Thirdly, what exactly did I decide? These are tough questions, folks, but this is what we have to do to make this thing happen. Chapter 3 tomorrow, we'll be talking about the health. Why is health important and what we do? That's going to be good. Folks, live life like it's an epic adventure. I'll see you at the top. Be back here with me tomorrow morning for Radio for Your Mind.